Did you know that the Gardener's Workshop offers online courses? Whether you're a gardener or a flower farmer, we cover it all, allowing you to increase your skills at your own pace. So check out our full list of courses today at thegardenersworkshop.com. The Gardener's Workshop, turning all thumbs green. Hey everyone, welcome to the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop. Today's episode is a chat that Lisa recently did with Tammy Osler, owner of the Little Petal Farm in Noblesville, Indiana. During this conversation, they chat about retail sales, farmers markets, the importance of weeding regularly, and how flower farmers are always learning. Listen in to hear how Tammy's longtime passion for gardening flourished into a thriving flower farm and retail store a few years ago, plus what she plans to add next. So here it is. I hope you enjoy.
Well, I'm so glad to introduce you guys today to Tammy of the Little Petal Flower Farm. Plus, she's not just a flower farm. She is so much more than that. And we were just really happy to hear her success story. And I wanted to come have her on here to kind of, you know, we love to share good news. So welcome, Tammy. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, I didn't want to kill your last name. So tell us what your last name is.
Osler.
Osler. Y'all know that I struggle with pronunciation. So
that's not an easy one.
Yeah, that is kind of tough. So Tammy, Little Petal Farm. You've been established since 2019. So tell us kind of where you're located and how big your growing area is and just a little bit about your business. And then we'll go deep on all these things you're doing.
Okay. Noblesville, Indiana is where I'm located at. So it's right outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. I have an urban farm. So I farm on my own property, which is probably about an acre. And then I have two friends that let me use their land, and they're each about a half an acre. So I farm totally probably in production of 2 acres.
That's a lot. That is really a lot. So tell us kind of how did you get started? How did you learn about flower farming and how did you get started?
Well, I got started from you, and I have had a personal training business for the last 35 years, but I've had my own freestanding business for that the last 18 years. So about 2019, I started thinking, maybe I'll just, you know, I was listening to you off and on. I think, I can't remember if I took the course in 2019, but I think it was around there. So I thought, well, I'll just take the course. I had no intentions of doing anything with it. And I always liked what you said about, you know, this could just be a little side thing. It could be retirement. It could be, you know, whatever. And I thought, okay, I'm 57. So I thought, okay, maybe it's something that I could use for retirement. Personal training's good, but blah, blah. Well, then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, of course, personal training took a huge hit from people not coming in. And I think it still continues to take a hit because people now have gotten used to using all the apps and all that kind of stuff now that you can do for personal training. So when COVID hit, I thought, okay, I'm going to just kind of settle in and maybe do this flower thing. Cause I've been flower gardening for over 30 years, you know, just growing perennials and that kind of thing off and on, but not ever doing transplant seeding, any of that kind of stuff. So then I was just going to sell only to florists. That's all. I was just going to grow for florists and that was all I was going to do. So they came in and they bought flowers from me, which was great. And I appreciated it, but I don't know. I just felt like kind of the underappreciation, maybe a little bit for all the hard work. I hate to say that, I really do, but you know, they would come in, you know, the designers would get their flowers, they go off and do the wedding. And then I would never see how the bride reacted to the flowers or the wedding party reacted to them or sending them. So anyways, I thought, okay, I'm going to go farmer's market route the next year. So the next year I did the farmer's market and I love that. I love more of the retail and seeing people enjoy all the work that we put in on growing things. And then the third year I decided to take my personal training business because it is a downtown business with a storefront and take the front of the storefront and turn it into Little Petal Farm. So the front of it is the boutique and then the back of it is personal training. But even with COVID, you know, being somewhat over, it's personal training still is slow. So Little Petal Farm has definitely taken all my time.
So that is definitely a combination I have never heard of before. Personal training with flowers. But it sounds like a pretty good makeup to me. I mean, and you know, it's so funny. That's how it was for me too. When I first started growing, it's like, I'm just selling to florists. And then it's like, I just added and added and added. And so opening a shop, you know, is really something that brings you right front and center, right? With the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So tell us now, what are the different ways you actually sell your flowers? I mean, yeah. Do you just sell on your storefront now, or do you do a bunch of other things?
We do a bunch of things. I say we, but it's pretty much just me. I'm pretty much a one person show. I have some college people that help me in the summer a little bit here and there, but pretty much, and family that helps me periodically. But anyways, we have a website. So we do daily orders. We do subscriptions. We do weddings. We do events.
Wow.
We do the market. We do a wreath. We do classes. We do Drags product. We do all kinds of gift boxes, drag gift boxes.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know how many flowers, if you know how many flowers you produce every week, but 2 acres is a lot of flowers. And what people, I think you came into this just like I did, because I ran a veterinary hospital for 20 years before I became a flower farmer, right? So we already had some business experience, right? And the one thing you know is you can't sell stuff if you don't have customers, right? And so mm-hmm. I always felt like having more avenues gave us more customers. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a rainy week and, you know, the farmer's market is going to like not be any good because people don't come out, what are you going to do, right? Mm-hmm. So that is really, really super smart. So you don't sell to florists anymore or designers, right? You're more about end user, basically.
Yeah. We use all of our product every week. But along that lines, like you said, this weekend is supposed to storm here. And I've already, you know, what am I going to do with those flowers I got? And we'll do something with them. I will not.
Right.
I refuse just to throw them all away.
Yeah.
It's always, and, you know, we've gave them to nursing homes or to hospitals, or we've right. just done something to promote our business. We're not, in some way, they're going to promote us somehow.
And, you know, I think that's something that is really hard to remember, especially when you are overloaded with flowers, they aren't sold, you're hot, you're tired, and you think, I'm just going to throw them all away. But I agree with you 100%. I tell people there are so many things you can do with those flowers, the things you never have time to do to benefit your business, whether it's doing photo shoots, making videos for social media, you can do in a week with a bunch of flowers enough videos to float you all the way through winter, right?
Yeah, almost definitely.
But we take them to nursing homes and we gift a lot of flowers. And that is just good for you, good for your team, and good for the people that are receiving it, right? So I know that you took my course. I think it was in 2019. Jesse didn't tell me which year it was. But I'm really interested to learn from you because you were a business person. So what are the lessons that kind of helped you get your, you know, put the rubber to the road and get going?
Decide to start selling flowers?
Yeah.
I would most definitely say just the push when COVID hit. I had to find another income. So that was what really pushed me. And I enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked it. I like growing, but I would say I still love the growing. I would not stop doing the growing.
Right.
I don't want anything bigger than what I have. I have to say at my stage of the game now, I'm getting closer to retirement, you know, so I wanted something that I can maintain and keep myself if I just want to keep myself. I have no desires to get really big at this time. I just decided I'm doing it. That's just kind of me. I'm just kind of like, okay, here we go.
And, you know, I mean, I totally agree. Learning, realizing you don't want to get big, doing it at a pace that is manageable, that you can actually do it. So were there any lessons in the course that you found that were helpful for you to start your business? So what are a couple of those, or whatever you want to share about that?
Well, so one of them I had, which I do every fall like you, is collecting the leaves. That is huge. That is one that I had never done before. So I'm out, it's just like you in my neighborhood, and my helpers are out. We're just collecting all the leaves that we can, but that's a big one that did help the business. Cool flowers helped the business tremendously. Didn't know the whole concept of that. And I've taken that, and really that's helped us a lot have product quicker in the spring. But it's a learning process. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing about flower farming is I have failed plenty of times. I mean, plenty of times I have failed. But if you're going to fail and quit, then I don't know, flower farming is for you, because you're not even 4 years in. I have a seed tray back there right now. Don't know why it's not, but
hey,
not germinating, but that's just the way flower farming is. It's a constant fail and try again.
25 years in, and we have two trays we're ditching in there. I mean, it happens. That's just the nature of doing stuff. Yeah.
But that's also kind of the fun part of it.
Yeah.
The learning and why didn't that? What, you know, why isn't it going? What's the problem? And I like that part of it too.
That helps. So what about the leaves? You know, people that hear that think, what in the world does leaves have to do with flower farming? Well, talk about your number one weed prevention opportunity. Right?
Yeah. And you said black gold.
Yep. And it not only prevents weeds, but it breaks down and feeds your soil, right?
And we use it on the past like you do too, to keep stuff down. And yeah.
So is there anything in the course that when you think about somebody that might be considering taking the course, is there anything, a takeaway that you think, oh my goodness, you just don't know what you don't know about anything? You know, is there anything that is helpful?
There's a lot of things that I didn't know that I'm planting my transplants closer together. That was a big one. When I planted before, you know, perennials or whatever, you know, give them lots of space. Big difference when they're planted closer together, and, you know, the weed control. I think if you're going to be a flower farmer, you definitely have to be willing to spend every week weeding. I mean, I know there's a lot of flower farmers that don't weed as much as I do. I'm kind of OCD about weeds, but that I think, just to be able to go out there and to be in it and to enjoy it without a lot of weeds is a lot better than every time you walk out there and you see a bunch of weeds. That's just going to become overwhelming. So weed control is huge for me. I'm big on that, just so that I enjoy it more. But yeah, the transplants, planting them close together. The farmer's market, one that I learned from you and I do a lot, is I don't sit at the farmer's market. I'm always standing and waiting. That's a big pet peeve of mine a little bit with other vendors, just, you know, sitting. It just doesn't draw people in when you're just sitting and you're on your phone. So standing, and we give, I mean, if a child comes up and is looking at the flowers and, you know, in awe of them, take a couple stems and hand it to the daughter or whoever, and that'll pay for itself more in the end. I mean, we give a lot of flowers away too, but that's always to our benefit.
It's so true, isn't it? Because, you know, I used to, and I totally understand people, you know, when you're just starting to grow and you don't have many flowers, they would often, a question that I would frequently hear is, aren't you, because we would take not only mixed bouquets to the farmer's market, which just a few, we would take buckets and buckets of flowers and make bouquets at the market to draw attention, right? And then we would let people, you know, they could come in and make their own bouquet, you know, with a certain number of stems for a certain, and people were like, aren't you afraid people are going to break the stems? It's like, people are more careful than you think,
right?
But it's okay. That's just part of the experience, right? I mean, you have to, but you know, you and I are in the same age group and we're seasoned business people. You know what I mean? It's like, we kind of have an appreciation and understand that people need to experience people, and people are good at the basics. It's always one stinker. You know, it doesn't take but one stinker in the bunch, you know, to kind of mess things up, but you can't.
You have to ignore that one stinker.
Exactly.
And remember the 99% of the other people that do.
Yep. We used to love when kids would come into our farmer's market booth, especially when I had coxcomb. They'd say, oh my goodness, what is that? And I'd say, that's the brain flower. And their eyes get big. And I said, you know, if you put your finger on it and hold it, it'll make you smarter. Oh my goodness.
I've never heard that one.
That came every week to get smarter. I saw one kid with his hands on him. I mean, he was like making the most. Anyway,
it was just, remember that.
Yeah, that is a really, really sweet one. So what does the future hold for Little Petal Farm? You know, what are you excited about? And what are you, you know?
This year, for the first time, we're doing U-Pick.
So
I've never, ever had that on my property. So we're actually, next week's our first one. So we're actually having six times this fall for U-Picks, and we've had a good thing so far of people signing up. So that's new for us. So that weed thing really even more gets me, because I'm like, oh gosh, nobody can see a weed if they come, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, don't you think it's kind of like having people over to dinner? It makes you keep your house at a certain level of, but you know what? I mean, being kind of on top, you know, I am a big believer in weed prevention. And that is, you don't always prevent them all. I mean, we've got weed. No. That's what we spent the day doing here, you know, but it's deeper than us just being OCD about it, but I'm OCD about it because of all the issues that come with the weeds. You know, like right now, this time of the year here in the South, we're faced, when grass gets in beds, it grows up and then it gets heads and then it drops seeds on the flowers and it gets on the coxcomb. And you can't get, I mean, it's a major operation to try to get the grass seed off the coxcomb, or you could have prevented the weed. So what do you think is the smarter choice? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not just, I mean, and I definitely, and I'm just so grateful that Bobo that works with me, she is definitely worse than I am, but we work better in a neater environment and it just works out better. And I think you'd be right here with us, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It definitely, but it reaches further. I think that people are quick to think, oh, you're too weed focused. Well, not really.
You wasting your time, which you just made a point there that it's not wasting your time.
No, it's not.
You're gonna spend a lot more time later on. So.
Oh yeah. And then there are some flowers. Just today, literally, the grass in two or three beds at the ends where we kind of tend to just ignore them, that coxcomb is lost. We actually mowed it this afternoon. The netting was taken off because there was so much grass dropping on the heads. It's just impossible. It's not worth it. So no, we're justified, Tammy. We're justified in that, for sure. So
I'd say my one nemesis of anything, if I could name it, would be netting. I totally do not like netting. I use it, but I don't like harvesting with netting. And it serves its purpose, but that's the one thing I just like,
Well, and you know, I will say this because I'm a kind of a netting nut also. But I will tell you that 98% of the netting I see on social media is so blooming incorrectly installed that I can't imagine trying to harvest through what I see. Netting should be installed taut, nothing hanging down on the sides, no loose anything. Right. And it should be at the halfway point of maturity. And when it's at the halfway point, it is not difficult at all to reach down. I mean, I can harvest pretty quickly through netting, but I have to force myself to not say to people, my goodness, please install it this way and you won't have that struggle. Mm-hmm. So, but you'll get better. It gets better with time, just being sure it's taut and low where it's supposed to be. And it definitely makes it a whole lot better. But I
think that's what we do wrong. I think we put it on too late. I don't want to put it on. So then I put it on too late and then it's too high. And then you are trying to, we need to put it on earlier.
Well, you know that because we use the biodegradable film, which means that's on the bed before we plant, And sometimes we literally, as the next step, just install the netting. So netting's up above for about a week or so. But that way you don't have to worry about going back to that bed, because I totally agree with you, Tammy. You do everything else but the netting. I mean, I'm the pounder. I'm the one that pounds the stakes. And so it's like, I have to have time on top of everything else I'm doing. And then you wait too late. Then that means it's too high, which means harvesting is too hard. So let's make a pact. We'll put it on when we plant.
Early. I'll do better with that. But just like that, I mean, you're always learning. You're always figuring things out. It's always, you're never going to go into flower farming and know everything your first year. There's just nowhere. First year, second year, fifth year, sixth year. There's always
25th year. 25th. Yeah. I'm still always learning and you know, trying flowers that I didn't grow very well back when I first started. It's like, well, now that maybe I know a little something, maybe I'll try it. And it's like, holy cow, this is awesome. So Tammy, thank you so much for coming on here. We loved hearing about your business. You know, you gave us a raving review on the course, and we just thank you so much for that because, you know, I mean, I totally get it. I take courses, and what do I go and look at? It's the review that people post to say, how did they like it and how did it help them? And I think you doing this, and I mean, I think that were you not the one that wrote that you did it debt-free?
Yep.
I mean, that's a big pet peeve of mine. You know, we should not be buying anything that we can't pay for. I mean, if you need to get a side, if you want to be a flower farmer and you're listening to this and you want to start your business, but you don't think you can do it without using a credit card, you need to get a winter Christmas job and make some money. $2,000, you can get everything you need, in my opinion, the way that I found. And then it changes everything. It changes everything, your focus, what you do, how you do it, what opportunities you can have. So I appreciate that you shared that. And we're just really proud of all that you're doing and the success.
Well, thank you so much. With your help. I listen to your podcast all the time, all of them. And then again, I'll listen to one and I'll think, oh yeah, I know everything about that. And I didn't know that. Or I forgot that. Or, you know, listening to podcasts to me are huge. Of course, I come from a generation where we didn't have anything like that.
Well, so the amount
that you can learn just turning on a radio and listen, like when I'm making my deliveries, listening to them or out when we're harvesting is huge, the amount of stuff I can learn.
Well, thank you. We're getting ready to hit 1 million listens next week is when we estimate that it'll be 1 million.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And we love that our courses now can be listened to like a podcast because you can just listen to the courses going down the road and your phone can go to sleep and you can keep listening. And so that's awesome. And I totally agree with you, Tammy. I listen to stuff and I listen to it again. It's like, how did I not catch that the first time around? You know,
I forgot.
I'm telling you. So thank you so much. And we just wishing you the very best with Little Petal Farm. All right, Tammy. Well, best of luck to you good luck on your U-Pick.
All right. Thank you. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Welcome back. I think it's always nice to hear student success stories and about the path they've taken with what they've learned. Don't you agree? So I've included some links in the show notes, including Tammy's social media accounts and a link to Lisa's course called Flower Farming School Online, which is available now. So that's all for me today, friends. If you like what you're hearing here on the Field and Garden podcast, we'd love it if you'd tell a friend about us. And leave a review for us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jessie from the Gardener's Workshop, and I hope you have a great day.